What is it like to date a German? And when two people from different ethnicities get married, does it get more exciting or is it more challenging? Our guest today will give you a sneak peek of what it's like to be in a relationship with someone coming from a completely different culture. Welcome to the ICF Lounge podcast. We are a community of people coming from different parts of the world living in Germany. This is a space where we are united in Jesus and we come together to share our stories. Today we are in the ICF Lounge with a lovely couple. I still remember meeting them in our actual ICF Lounge on Königstrasse. We were having lunch after the service, and shortly after that, this couple has already been serving us and blessing us in many different ways. They're cooking for us, translating for us, and they're now even leading a life group. And one of the members of their life group told me, and I quote, "It's such a blessing to be in this group." So Julia and Evan, welcome to our show.
Hey, Joanne.
Hi, thanks very much.
Thanks for joining us. Hey, tell us a little bit about you. Tell our audience, where are you guys from?
My full name is Evan Eldo. I come from India, or to be specific, I come from South India. And I actually went to Sweden to study, and where I met my wife now, Julia, while we were studying. And then after the marriage, I moved here.
Yeah, I'm Julia. I was born and raised in Germany, actually in Nuremberg. But after my A-levels, I went international. I moved to many countries. Was here and there, and yeah, at some point I was also in Sweden, and that's where I met Evan.
So one is from India, the other one is from Germany. You guys met in Sweden. That is a very international love story. Can you tell us exactly how did you guys meet?
We arrived together in 2015 for our master program in Sweden, and we were given the same student accommodation, and that's how we met.
It was a very nice place right next to a lake in Sweden, and we were, I think, 22 internationals living in one accommodation. Everyone had their own room, but a shared kitchen, and that was like nice. Evan and I always used to be in the kitchen together cooking, and that's how we got to know each other better. And Evan always used to quote Bollywood things, which was very romantic. I didn't know it was from Bollywood.
So she stood out to me because other than me and another Pakistani friend of ours, she was the only one with the spices.
The only one who could handle spices.
That also explains why you two are so willing to cook for us. I mean, that is how you met, cooking together. Okay, now I see it. Now, I'm just taking a wild guess here. I think you two may have been raised in a different family culture. How does that influence your relationship when you were dating? Does it make it harder or easier?
I know how a girl would be in an Indian mindset or in an Asian mindset. So meeting a white person, or to be specific, a German, was actually an eye-opening. So you get to know different things, or the values that you're raised in, or the media thing that you covered with, you get to see what's wrong, and you actually grow. I saw it as a growing opportunity where there were things that I could grow in.
Yeah, for me, I mean, even in Germany, I've seen so many different family cultures. Like, some parents raise their kids completely different than others. So for me, it's not really a matter of country culture only. I mean, of course, there are differences, but it's also like how you were raised in your family. And even there, yes, there are differences from our family, but I find it very exciting to explore the differences and then making our own mix out of it.
Yeah.
I can only agree to that. I think Mike is raised in a very different family background. It's not because of our culture differences or not, but it's just that when he talks with his parents, they're very open. They're like, hey, everything's out. But for us, we are not so forthcoming with our feelings. So yeah, that absolutely, you're right. It's more family background that affect that we can see in our relationship. Now, I know all relationships are unique and we don't want to generalize, but, or Evan, let's start with you. Is there anything you noticed when you were dating Julia where you would say, oh, okay, well, that's different. That's quite German. Do you have any experiences like that?
One was Julia introducing me to the different types of bread. I think that's a very stereotypical German thing.
Ah, bread. Okay.
You know, Germans are crazy about bread.
The only bread that Indians know is the flat bread, and the different different forms of it. And she introduced me to different things like pumpkin bread or garlic bread, all the different variances of it. And also, I think the European girls are more outspoken or kind of strong-willed, I guess, than coming from a stereotypical Indian girl would be a little shy. She's not so quick to open up or not quick to open experience.
Oh yeah, that I can imagine. That must be very different. Women maybe in India, they're less outspoken. So has that caused any problems in your relationship, or is it actually a good thing? You have any experiences to share?
It didn't cause any problems, I guess. But like I was saying, it opened me to new experiences. You get to know different people or different cultures. And with a student home of 22 people, there were 5 Germans and the other 16 to 17 people were each person from a different country. So there was no holding point to a certain culture.
Mm-hmm. And what about you, Yulia? Do you notice anything while you were dating where you are like surprised and say, what? I've never seen that before. I never experienced that before because of the different culture.
Yeah, I mean, Evan, right away from the beginning, he was very, very committed. I don't know, in India, I guess you don't fool around with people too much. Like, usually your parents decide whom you're going to marry and then you're committed to that person. And Evan, right away from the beginning, when we met, he was very committed. He wanted to be friends. And very soon he talked about getting married already. And I was like, I don't know. Very early to talk about that. So yeah, that I guess is a bit of a difference that you wouldn't have with a German person.
So was it challenging for you during your dating time, having to manage and navigate these differences?
No, it was exciting. I think it was.
It was. There were initial challenges like what you can expect and what you cannot. Yeah, so things like I told her to her face that one day I will marry you, and she found it really weird. And coming from my culture, you start off like that, or it's kind of there in the beginning itself.
Wow, it didn't scare you away, Yulia? At the beginning, I'm going to marry you.
As I said, I was fascinated. I was like, oh yeah, this is finally a guy who is serious, who's not like, yeah, maybe I'm scared of commitment and I don't know what I want. So I found it really nice.
Okay, good. A match made in heaven. Well, is there a funny or interesting story while you're dating that is related to your cultural differences?
Yes, like in Sweden, there were a lot of Indians there at our university. And Indians are kind of always, when they go somewhere abroad, they are kind of a community, like almost everyone knows everyone. And as I was dating Evan, every one of the Indians knew that. Like every Indian on the campus would greet me and say, hi, Yulia. And I'm like, I've never met you. I don't know who you are, but nice to see you as well. So that was very funny for me. And Evan got famous on the campus, of course. It was the only Indian with a white girlfriend.
Because Indians are usually awkward and we have this notion that we don't speak good English. So we are kind of scared to approach a person so that we don't look awkward or something. And every Indian guy has a stereotypical thing of having a mustache and not many girls find it appealing. So yeah, it was a very different thing in the community, in the Indian community. And it's only when she comes and tells me that I met some person, he was Indian and he said hi to me, it's when I get to know that, okay, without me telling to anyone, the news is spreading.
Uh-huh. This is how Evan got famous in Sweden. It's because of Yulia. Okay.
There's also a thing that Indians, if there's foreigners visiting India and if they're white-skinned, it's a common notion that people think all white-skinned people are rich. So they were like, that was not my motive, but I used to get encouragement saying that you shouldn't let this girl go. You should hold on to her because you don't have to worry about anything. She's rich.
That's the reason. Wow.
I guess that's what many of the Indians thought, that is Evan's motivation. So, yeah.
Let's take a break and play a game called Two Truths and a Lie. And that's simply you give us 3 facts about you two as a couple, and we have to figure out which one of them is not true. It's a lie. All right. So what 3 things would you like to tell us?
Okay, so fact number 1, I was Evan's first girlfriend. Fact number 2, on the day of our wedding, I was in the hospital.
Fact number three was Yulia's parents didn't accept me until we had our daughter.
Wow. These are intense. Wait, okay. So first one, Yulia is your first and only girlfriend. Okay, possible. Number two is you're in the hospital on the wedding day. That's intense. Three is, her parents not accepting you. I don't know. Fred, you want to weigh in?
I would go with the number one, first girlfriend. I would say that this is true. The second one, I think, would be a lie. Death on the hospital.
Okay. I think number three is a lie. I mean, who wouldn't like Evan? So I think I'll go for three is a lie. So what is the answer?
Well, John, you are right. You guessed
Yay.
It.
Because it was the other way around. Like, my parents accepted Evan right away, but Evan's parents had some difficult time to accept me.
They were expecting a white Indian or close to white Indian girl.
Yeah, but definitely Indian with like long black beautiful hair and who speaks the same language, who wants to stay in India. So
and I think that's it, right? It's communication. Maybe they find it also difficult with the language and things. I can understand. Thank you for playing this game with us. We learned a little bit more about you. But Julia, you said that you were in the hospital on your wedding day. What happened that day?
That was a crazy story. Like, I was in India the second time. Like, the first time I was there to get to know Evan's family and planning the wedding. And then the second time I was there for the wedding. And like, the first time I was there, I had no problem at all with food, with hygiene. I was healthy all the time. And the second time, I don't know, I guess it was because of all the stress that we had, like with the preparations and stuff. But yeah, the day before the wedding, I got some kind of food poisoning. We don't know exactly what it was, but I had incredible stomach pain. Like, I couldn't walk straight anymore. And they took me to the hospital and yeah, they gave me a lot of medication, but it still didn't get much better. So they said I have to come back the next day, which was the wedding day. And I had told Evan in the evening, don't worry, I will be fine tomorrow. I promise we can get married. And in the morning, I was still like, I hope it will work out. And yeah, so we had to go back to the hospital in the morning of the wedding day. And they gave me, I guess, a lot of stuff. But I wouldn't say it was only medication, because we also prayed a lot about it. And then it was just a miracle that two hours later, I was standing straight. I had no problems at all anymore. I was fine. And I could go to the wedding and get married. And Evan was so, like, he was so tense because he hadn't seen me that whole day. And he was so happy seeing me walk down the aisle.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe that she wasn't, when she fell sick, she was not like this. We had to carry her in the car and then carry her into the hospital. She was on the bed. She couldn't get up. She was really weak and they gave her ibuprofen. I had to bring her back at 5 in the morning at the day of the wedding, and she was in the hospital until 8, and somewhere around 10 the beauticians come to get her ready. And yeah, it's actually a miracle, because the last time I saw her was dropping her off at home after the hospital visit, where she was still loopy. The next I see her is walking arm in arm with her dad. And the only thing I was thanking God is not whether she's looking pretty or that she was, but the most important thing was I was thanking God that she's standing and she's smiling.
You really can't take things for granted. I cannot imagine being in a wedding and like, I can't walk, I'm sick and stuff, but nothing short of a miracle.
Oh yeah.
As we learn.
It's true. I mean, we had so many miracles on the way to get married. So that was just the tip of the iceberg. I don't know at person, but it was just amazing.
Cool. All right, let's talk about marriage. What are some of the joys that come from you two having different cultural backgrounds?
With us having different cultural backgrounds, the joys is, one is the food. It's a fusion of foods, and it gives us ideas to serve the ICF community as
well.
That's
important.
Second is just the fact of how committed we can be to each other. At least from the culture where I come from, the husband, the person is always connected to the significant other. And I think it's necessary for the trust and the love to always be there.
And yeah, I think we are both very much aware of the differences. And that's also like a joy of our relationship, that we are aware of it and we are accepting the other person, how he or she is. But at the same time, we are both willing to change. And that just makes it very exciting.
Did you discover any cultural differences after you get married that you've never realized before? You only see it after living together. Is there any new discoveries?
I guess it's about how you raise a child.
Oh, yeah, that could be a big topic. Yes, yes, tell us.
I think India or Asians, the parents are not afraid to whack their kids as a form of discipline, but...
I can vouch for that, yes. That's true.
Europeans, they don't do it, or the rest of the world don't do it. It's kind of a middle ground we had. It was a long discussion, I can say. Not argument, but a heated discussion.
Yeah, but not only about wagging or not, it's just generally like, what values do you want to implement into a child? And how we want to be as parents? Like, do we just want to be friends or live with the kids? Or, I mean, they should respect us as well. How do we achieve that? So, I mean, we're still in the process, we're still developing, but I think we found a common ground here.
And these are all big questions, right? How to raise a child? How do you do this? How do you make decisions? So, how do you resolve your differences and conflicts when they do come up?
First is we try to bring it under the scanner of the Bible, of what God says and stuff. Second is, if we don't, or we are not able to see how to get past it, is when we ask other married couple for help. And yeah, I think when we had recently, quite a while back, a trouble, is when we called you and Mike, or we called Gustavo and Paula for help. And it's actually pretty important to have, when you're married, you need to have married friends as well, so you can help the other person grow. And spiritual people who are believers, who are married, it's important to have in your life.
And maybe another point is that we try to communicate things early, like not to have it inside of us for too long. And I mean, generally, we try to communicate a lot. I guess that's what we learned when we were dating, because we had a long distance relationship for, I don't know, 1.5 years or something. So, I mean, we had to learn to communicate very well, because when you just talk over the phone all the time, you get better at that.
I think it's so important that you have a shared foundation. You can always go back to your faith, what the Bible says. And also having community of other couples who may be going through the same struggles, but having that same belief, that's so important. What is the best piece of advice you've been given regarding relationships or marriage? Can you share with us?
There are two things. One is, I think we would recommend that people who want to get married in any way, whether you marry with the same country person or an international, is go for marriage counseling, pre-marital counseling. Second is that something that my pastor from India said was, you need to think why you're getting married. There's no I in the marriage. If you're thinking of someone, you want to marry someone to serve you, or because you're lonely, it's not the right way. Rather go get friends or hire a maid to do those things. But you should only get into a marriage if you're willing to serve. You need to be you need to take the example of Jesus and be a you need to lead by serving. And it is 100% without the expectation of whether the person is loving you or how much the person is loving you. But there should always be your 100% in it.
Yeah, that's such an important perspective. When one goes into a marriage, the question is, are you willing to be the one serving and not asking, hey, how am I going to be loved? How am I going to be served? But it's always about the other person.
Marriage is like a garden. You can put a lot of energy into it and flowers will grow. But if you don't put a work on it or in it, then there will be
weeds. Thorns.
Yes. So it depends on you, how your marriage will be, if you put effort into it.
I was reading this book that actually Doris and Dominic lent to me. And he's talking about, hey, your spouse is like a plant in that garden, but you cannot be the one that make it grow. Like, God makes it grow. But what you can do is, you can water, right? You can put fertilizer, you can do stuff like to give that person an environment to grow, but you are not the one who changes. So I really like the garden analogy for marriage as well. Well, thank you so much. You two are also one of the winners of our podcast name contest. How did you come up with the name? Yeah, woo! Can you tell us, how did you come up with the name United in Jesus?
Like unity and international and stuff like that. And
we tried many combinations.
Yeah, and putting Jesus in between and stuff. And the thing that United in Jesus clicked for us was, first, it sounded catchy to us. And second is that it reminded us of the unity that all of us have. For example, I'm from India, she's from Germany, Joe, and you're from Hong Kong, and Fred, our producer, is from Brazil, and we have people from US, Australia, different parts of the world, and we have different culture. We are separated by culture or all those culture, caste, religion, all those things. But the only thing that unites us is Jesus and of how we worship him. And yeah, it just stayed like that.
Yeah, that's such a great meaning behind this name. Thank you so much for your contribution. Congratulations once again. Well, thank you so much, Yulia and Evan, for being our guests today. I can really relate and use some of the wisdoms. Thank you for your honest sharing. This podcast is produced by Fred, and I'm your host. My name is Joanne. We hope that through our conversation, you can learn more about our community and be encouraged in some ways. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you subscribe and follow us for more insights and stories from our community. I'll see you next time.